I know in Montreal, there's a lot of talk about Max Domi and Jonathan Drouin and what will Claude Julien do to get them going. Obviously in Toronto, William Nylander, he is very much under the microscope. It appears as if he and Austin Matthews may be broken up a little bit 5-on-5. It looks as if they'll be put together in the power play. This should have been kind of predictable, shouldn't it, in a lot of ways with William Nylander?
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm with you on that. I mean, you know, William is a great hockey player. There's no doubt about that. And when he came back, you know, the first thing that we noticed, and it's totally normal, and we've talked about that. I'm not sure he was already fit to play, right? What I mean by that is physically you need to be fit to play. You're in Europe, and it's obvious for everybody. You're not practicing with NHL players. It's a different atmosphere. Your teammates in Toronto are pushing hard since the first day of training camp, and they're trying to, you know, be the best team in the NHL. And when you arrive in December, it's not true that you can turn the switch on. You want to turn the switch on. Mentally, there's, you know, it's not the mental aspect that that's the struggle. There's the struggle at the beginning. That's not the struggle at the beginning. The struggle is not the mental aspect. It's more physically. But after that, after the physical aspect, Jeff, it's the mental aspect that's kicking in, because you're playing with really good hockey players, okay? You're supposed to be one of the best power play, one of the best power play in the league, and you have 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 points, -2, 14 games in. It's not enough. It's really not enough. And even if, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs don't want to push the panic button, I mean, mentally, for William Nylander, it's a struggle. He's in better shape today, obviously, than he was December 1st. But can't score. We're not seeing a lot of William Nylander on the ice. I mean, when I'm watching Maple Leafs games, it's not the name that I see the most and that I hear the most, meaning that he's maybe not, you know, doing what he's supposed to do on the ice. He's got 26 shots. It's all right. But it's less than 2 shots per game. You know, like I said, I know he's a passer. He likes to, you know, find his teammates. I understand all that. But it's a struggle. And one thing that I've noticed, if I can go to Montreal, and I can't compare the two, because Thomas Tatar started Montreal this season early, obviously, with his teammates at training camp, okay? But there's a stats out there. And I do feel like those two players are alike in a way. You know what I mean? They're great players. Obviously, William Nylander has a better upside. But they're similar on the ice in a way. And it's something that I talked to Thomas Tatar. When he's got 3 shots more in a game, he's got something like 11 goals and 15 assists, 26 points, which means that 3/4 of his points during the season are when he's more involved in a game offensively. And to do that, he needs to shoot more. If William Nylander is just shooting more, I'm not going to say that he's going to score more, but he's going to be more involved or feel more involved in the play offensively. And that's something that I really do believe that he needs to do more.
There's a lot of talk here, Wren, and Mike Babcock has kind of fueled it a little bit by, you know, by constantly, as I said, he uses the word heaviness about every other word in his post-game interviews and you know, the need for it, and how we being the Leafs, he says, you know, we need to play heavier. And I mean, he's really kind of prodding the front office into making some sort of move to address this situation. A lot of people in this city, you know, Wayne Simmonds is a name that's come up, and of course that's you know, that's fitting. I mean, a lot of people in the NHL are looking at him. But a couple of questions for you. First of all, how hard is it to get that commodity? You know, and secondly, what do you have to give up in this market right now to get a guy like Wayne Simmonds, who I think, what is, well, I mean, is his AAV is something, it's under $4 million, so he fits into just about every team. But what would you have to give up to get a guy like that? And is he the type of guy the Leafs should be looking at?
If you talk to GMs right now in the league, they're going to tell you it's, you know, all the rental players that can help your team right now, which means that what I'm saying that is they are not stars players like, you know, Alex Edler in Vancouver, but you know that he's an NHL player that can help your team right away. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Wayne Simmonds. It starts with a first-round pick. That's the reality. So you need to decide as an organization, are we going to waste our first-round pick on a rental player? And that first-round pick, obviously, for Toronto, if you're a Toronto fan, you just hope that that pick's going to be number 31, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to win the Stanley Cup. So, and obviously the Flyers, when they're looking at it, they're saying to the Leafs, well, we do expect you to play a long time during those playoffs. So you're going to pick between 25th, 26th, probably, and 31st, something like that. So it's not a great first-round pick. We're going to try to see if we can get something else elsewhere. So that's what the Flyers are going to do. And that's when the Maple Leafs are going to reply, well, is there anybody else that you want? Is there any prospect in the AHL that you like? Is there any prospect in junior that you like? You're not going to overpay. You can't overpay. But some GMs are doing that, obviously. I remember Philippe Deneau being traded to Montreal with a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for Dale Weiss and Thomas Fleischmann, both rentals, that they last only one round in the playoffs, and I don't believe that Dale Weiss played all the games.
Right.
So that was really costly because you just let go a number one centerman in the league, or maybe but really at least a second line centerman or a third line centerman. For just two rental players that didn't really help you, it's costly. And over that, you gave Montreal a second-round pick. You look at it, Jeff, it's a dangerous move because it can hurt your franchise in the long run. Obviously, it's unfair to compare the Blackhawks at the time and the Toronto Maple Leafs today. The Blackhawks at the time, they won already three Stanley Cups. It's not the case for the Toronto Maple Leafs right now that are, what they're doing in Toronto is quite simple. They're building a Stanley Cup franchise.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want to do. So I'm not going to say they have a lot of time in front of them, but they have more time today than the Chicago Blackhawks 3 years ago, that's for sure, to win a fourth Stanley Cup.
What do you think the rest of the NHL sees right now when they look at the Leafs power play and see what it's going through? And, I mean, I know that I think it was Austin Matthews making the point that look, and he made this point frankly earlier in the year as well. So I'm going to credit him when everybody was going crazy about that first unit. He said, let's wait until the middle of the season because everybody's got a lot of videotape of everybody else and everybody breaks it down. And right now it's great and exciting. But you're going to have to change it up a bit or, people are just going to take away what you do. And that seems to me it's pretty much what happened. I don't think the players have gotten worse, but there's no surprise element in that power play anymore.
So you have to think about this. Are the PK coaches are better than the power play coaches? Because, and I'm not pointing fingers on Toronto here. It's across the league, to be honest with you. Yes, you have teams like you look at the Blackhawks power play right now. The Blackhawks power play right now in the last 11 games is 33% plus. I mean, it's great to watch, but it's too late, right?
Yeah,
they're not going to make the playoffs. So probably teams are facing them and are not as responsible as they should be. But you look around, there are some power plays that are struggling. Capitals went through it a few weeks ago. Now it's the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's kind of a unique situation. But just going back to the PK coaches, I had discussions about that with a lot of players around the league, and they're telling me there's no surprises anymore. I do feel like they're spending more time on the video when they're working on a PK to see all the tendencies of every player on every team. And they're practicing when they're on the ice, but when you think about it, they're really practicing the power play on the ice, right? Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. what they're doing. They want to put a system out there that's going to work. And Montreal right now, it's a real struggle since they won. Now Toronto is going through a downside, but I'm going to tell you this. Talent is going to help you battle all, the dark moment that you have on the power play. And I do believe that they have too much talent in Toronto to struggle like that for the rest of the season. It's, in my mind, it's kind of impossible, to be honest with you, that it's going to last. I do believe that they're going to find a way. And after the All-Star game, the level of play is going to jump. And it's going to be really, really tough for teams to, and especially the bad teams, to battle versus great power plays like in Pittsburgh, Toronto, Washington. I do feel like those power plays, the cream's going to be back on top. Mm-hmm. That's the way I should put it. Huh?
Yeah, I think that's we generally see that, don't we? And it's true. It's funny because I was just thinking back to a conversation we had with Pete Weber a couple of days ago. And they were talking about the Predators' power play, and they haven't been able to get it going all year for the most part. Now, part of that is because of injuries, obviously. I mean, they've lost three of the key components in their power play, for different chunks of the season. Yeah. But it's been tough right from the start, and that should be a good power play unit when you look at the blue line guys, especially.
And yeah, you're right. But you know what? You saw what the Predators did in Toronto earlier this week. I mean, this is a dangerous team. And yes, the talent now is back on the power play. They're healthy now. I saw Philip Forsberg last night. We did the Blackhawks game, and I saw Philip Forsberg making a mistake late in the third period and scoring the winning goal in overtime. Mm. So, that's the type of team that they are. And so their power play is going to be as good as Toronto, eventually Pittsburgh. They have too much talent, but you have to look the way they're playing. You see Roman Josi, moving the puck, not only moving the puck, but skating with the forwards, being a fourth forward every time. They're going to be tough to beat, I'm telling you. I see three teams in the West, and I know it's not your question, but I see three teams. I see, obviously, Vegas again. They're playing really well, especially at home. I see Winnipeg, and I see Nashville. One of those three teams is going to be at the Stanley Cup Final. I do believe that.
Yeah, you don't believe Calgary can keep this up?
Calgary, when you look at the big picture, it's great. Great to watch. I mean, even last night, Gaudreau is unbelievable. I mean, I knew he was really good. I didn't expect him to be that good. But you have to wonder about goaltending, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my biggest question mark, to be honest with you, because when you look at Nashville, you look at the Golden Knights, you look at Winnipeg. Those guys are just great.
Yeah.
And I can't say that right now about goaltending. And even if they're really good, I can't say they're great. They don't have the pedigree to say something like that.
What's happened to Colorado? One of the best stories in the league. They've still got 48 points. I mean, it's not like they've fallen off the face of the earth. They're in seventh place.
No.
But they've lost two in a row, last losing to Calgary. They're 2-6-2. What's happened to Colorado?
Again, you have to go with a team that has got talent, no doubt about that, but it's really about one line.
Mm-hmm.
So the teams find a way. You need to battle hard versus those players, and it's a struggle. Imagine that line. They're playing the best players all the time. They know that all the pressure's on them. It's going to be if they're winning, it's because of them, and they don't have the support that other teams have. And they're a little tired. Probably teams find a way to play against them, and it's always about time and space. You know, there's nothing magic here. It's always the same thing. The second you give that line a little bit of time, you're dead. That's the reality. So teams are playing hard versus them, especially that line. And that's the reason why I do believe, Jeff, that they're struggling right now. They're not playing the way that they're supposed to. And am I surprised? Not really. I didn't, you know, that was in September. Mm-hmm. I didn't put Colorado in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Was it a mistake? Probably, but I'm not sure. You know, it was great what they did last year, but I'm not sure that they were supposed to be there, really, honestly. I think St. Louis, if they wouldn't trade a guy like Stastny before the deadline to help the Jets, maybe they could have, you know, at least make the playoffs. They didn't do that. So this year it's a struggle for them, obviously. But anyway, I'm not convinced, and I'll be honest, that they are playoff teams. I wouldn't put money on a team like the Avalanche to say that they're going to make the playoffs. I don't really believe in them because they don't have the depth offensively, even if they probably have the best line in the game.